All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. We're going to be talking about thermocline tonight. Now, we've had actually a couple a couple emails that have came in over the last few months to talk about thermocline, and we thought that this was the perfect time because Josh just got back from fishing the Wyoming Stampede the championship series. He actively fishes that one, and we got to talking about where he found some of the fish. You guys actually did pretty good, so congratulations on that. But you started finding that thermocline. There was a clear thermocline around that 28-foot mark or so, maybe a little bit deeper, but it's usually pretty consistent, so right around there. I don't remember what you said, 28 to 30, something like that?
Yeah, 28 to 30, somewhere right around in there. It was
Very distinct and easy to see
on some parts of the lake than others. But
so you were able to see it on your graph.
Yep.
What kind of unit are you using, so just people know what you saw it on?
I have older Lowrance. I have an HDN 2. So I've got Gen 2.
So were you seeing it on your structure scan, or were you seeing it on your regular
2D sonar on the color? You could see it come down, and you could see a very distinct line. And there was an algae bloom going on at the same time. So, but you could see it come down, and you would almost look like surface clutter, mm-hmm. almost all the way down, right? And it was real light surface clutter, but that's what it looked
like. All the way down to the thermocline.
All the way down to almost the thermocline. Yeah. And then the if there was bait balls, they would show up through it. Of course, the fish would show up through it. So all of that was, it wasn't like it was so dark or so overbearing that you couldn't tell what was above it. But it seemed like most of the fish were either right above the thermocline, just above it, or right below it. But mm-hmm. they were all around that thermocline area. And then, of course, you'd have some on the bottom. And I caught my nicest fish on practice, came in 41 feet of water on bottom bouncers.
On the bottom.
On the bottom.
Well, I know that they usually, the things that you read now, I'm no scientist, so I don't know, dude. But a lot of times...
That's the truth.
I know.
He's not a biologist either.
And you're not a chemist. Or whatever.
I was at a Holiday Inn Express last week.
I actually did last week. Yeah, so I know. Listen to this stuff. I'm going to spew out. I did. I stayed at it for 3 days, so I should be extra smart. But
there's a lot bigger gap than 3 days to get there.
Oh, shit. If I'd only known. But no, I'm telling you that they... We've all looked that up before, what thermocline is, because it's curious. You know, what is it? So, it's the amount of oxygen that's being held in the water, and they say that it's usually pretty void of life and stuff below a thermocline. Well, pretty void. It's not. So, you're still going to find fish. You're still going to find stuff. But it's like anything, I kind of think. I mean...
Well, surface temperature was anywhere between 76 to 81 degrees. So, depending on where we were during the day, it was we had pretty stable weather. Hot, dry.
Did you find fish up on shore? I mean, really shallow, like 1-2 feet.
No, we
up on shore on stringers, maybe.
Yeah,
I know. But that's what we've talked about before. Is you can still catch fish shallow. It's time of day when that water is a little bit warmer, a little bit more oxygen, which all relates to thermocline because that's what it is. It's where the dissolved oxygen is in the water. And we've talked about this on fishing for fishing like bass for walleye or however we title it. Walleye
bass
fishing for walleyes and bass.
Maybe a few more nights in the Holiday Inn.
Or a few less booze.
Is it all relative?
Yeah.
No, there's more oxygen in there. It usually makes the fish more active and stuff. I mean, it's like anything. There is going to be some fish below that thermocline. We know that.
Right. Well, it's funny that you say that because, all of the fish that we caught, or the vast majority of the fish we caught, were coughing up crawdads, or we kept some fish on Friday pre-fish and had a little fish fry Friday night, and they all had crawdads in their stomach.
Is there bait fish?
There are. There's shiners in there, and they had just hatched in there. So you'd see big bait, balls of shiners right at the boat ramp.
Yeah, and you probably saw some dead float, and they're probably like half inches or inches or something.
No, I think they were even about half. I think they were so small. I mean, we didn't even see any floating. I mean, they weren't ripping through the bait fish like you see with the shad, where they all of a sudden, it looks like somebody threw glitter in the water because all those little tiny shad are dead. It wasn't anything like that at all. And, you know, like we said, we had an algae bloom going, so it made it kind of difficult to see at the surface. You know, the algae only went down a few feet, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because, you know, the crayfish are not out swimming at 30 feet of water suspended over 40 or 50, which is typically what we were fishing.
Bottom.
Yeah. So so those fish that were suspending weren't chasing crayfish suspended around the thermocline, so they must have been sliding up at night and going into those shallow areas. So what we actually found out, which was interesting, I think a lot of the people there, a lot of the teams there figured this out at some point, you could go catch fish first thing in the morning. So we would get to the, like, let's say about
water's
7.
A little cooler, a little more oxygen.
Water's cooler, a little more oxygen. The fish are still up there from going and hunting crayfish. We were snap jigging, and we were catching fish on tube jigs and different snap jig presentations, jigging wraps, just vertically fishing them, right? I'd move at 4 miles or 0.4.
That's perfect. That's what a crawdad's doing, though, too.
And just vertically do that jigging wrap, and I was catching fish doing that. But I wasn't getting quality fish.
Did you cast any of those slide baits, those Berkley slide, the ones with the fins on the back?
The rip jig, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that.
Yeah, no, those Berkley rip jigs are pretty solid, and they came out with those new ones, the heavier ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were fishing. We would start about 10 feet. Anything above 10 feet, we weren't catching any fish. Mm-hmm. And we would cast up to 10 feet. And this lake was dropping, like all reservoirs in the West this time of year. And they had huge points that would come out.
Poisons are huge. Like,
oh, it's massive. But they had points that would come out 300-400 yards from shore. You'd be 400 yards offshore and only be in 4 feet of water.
Oh,
because
wow.
This point reached way onto the lake. So it also makes it a little dicey when you're running, right?
Sure.
But so you would.
It's just a tool, Josh. We've talked about this.
Yeah, just a tool.
You're fine.
You know, it's later.
Pony up,
bud. I banged my ratchet
you've
before.
Ripped your skag off. It's no big deal.
It happens.
So you would just have to go out on these points, and you'd have to just keep inching out until you got the end. Because, you know, all your maps are off a little bit because of the water level dropping. And so finally, though, when you would get to the end of them and they start to drop off, you start about 10 or 15 feet, and then you would come out further, and you can cast them a mile because you're using really heavy heads. But, man, we were ripping those bad boys back with gulp, and just those fish would just hammer it, either on the way down, on the glide down, or as soon as you'd pick it up off the bottom, they'd whack it. Mm-hmm. And they have big hooks. Do you ever look at those?
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah, they're big hooks, and they no problem.
Yeah.
You know, 12-inch fish getting them all the way in their mouth.
No problem.
So, you know, I was a little worried about that when I first started fishing with them. But when we saw the crayfish in their belly, we did tube jigs and caught fish on those. But we weren't getting – it was a 17-inch minimum length for it to be a keeper, and we would get maybe one keeper in the morning that went over 17. Well, that's not a good ratio, right? And it's not good waste. And the bite would go in up in what I say shallow, so it was anywhere between 10 or 12 feet all the way down to 30 is what we would fish. And you would go out, and you'd slowly pull out and fish that entire water column down to about 30, and then you'd go find the next point and do the same thing. And about 10, 15 – done.
Yeah.
You're not getting another fish up in 15 feet of water the rest of the day. Yep. Now, that doesn't mean that people didn't. There were guys that had live bait.
Yeah.
Here's the craziest part. I fished a Lindy Rig style dead stick off the other side. I was up front off the other side of the boat while I was casting and rip jigging and chat, you know, not one fish the entire week. So if you think those fish are up there rooting around for crayfish, usually a night crawler presentation mm-hmm. of any sort is going to catch fish. I fished with a half a crawler on a hook, just as simple as could be. Nothing.
I got a theory on that. I started thinking about it, and tell me what you guys think on this. I think when you have a hatch like that, especially in the later summer when we're getting kind of towards dog days, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so this kind of plays into what I've thought, and I want to bring it out to you. It's going to take me like a minute, but I want you guys' thoughts on this. So you talked about those shiners were like half inch, right?
Probably, yeah.
Probably around there. Small.
No, they were small.
So half inch baits, small baits like that, that's more ice fishing type stuff later on when it's a real vertical, slow mm-hmm. presentation. So I think when you start seeing that later hatch where the small fish are, that's a clue to get deeper into bigger fish like or bigger stuff like the crawdads. And the reason why is the fish get conditioned to those crawdads. So that's maybe why your crawler isn't going, because they're looking for that crawdad movement, is why you're picking them up on the
rip jigs.
Yeah, rip jigs. Yeah. But what I'm thinking is that it's hard, especially in an algae bloom, when you're seeing an algae bloom or a super stained lake and you have half-inch like shiners, flatheads, whatever it is, small hatch, it's hard for those fish to track those fish and single out to chase them. So that's why, because they don't – they'll eat crawdads when they're presented to them, right?
Yeah.
But it's usually when they're looking for food that's not going to sustain them, because there's not a lot of nutrition in a crawdad for fish. They try, they tend to eat other fish before them.
Yes. Well, that's what they would like to do.
Yeah, so when you start seeing crawdads, the bait fish hatch is representative of that, because it's hard for them to track in murky water small fish. They don't give out a vibration. You can't see it as well.
Right.
So what do they go to? What they can see. The crawdad's rooting on the bottom, which is why those vertical, that 0.4 presentation with like any kind of jig and wrap, shiver minnow, whatever, would work. I don't know. What do you think, Mitch?
Well, I've got my own theory, I guess. So I guess I don't look at it like you do.
No, I just started thinking about it.
Well, so for a long time, I've always, you know, really put a lot into the, you know, fish's metabolism and how much energy it takes to go get that, you know, that food.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, chasing these little bait fish around where they're, you know, it's just a little morsel anyway, a little snack, you know, they're burning probably more energy than that little baby shiner is going to give them, or shad. So, but now go to compare that to crawdads that are just becoming active right at dusk and at night, right? Yeah, crawling around in those rocks.
10 in the morning.
They can basically just cruise over those rocks, barely even using any energy. They spot one, and then they go down and eat it.
That's what I'm saying. They get conditioned to that, because that's their easy meal.
Well, I think where I guess I was thinking a little different than Lee than you. I think that changes throughout the season in water systems, just like whitetail bucks go to that food when it's right.
100%. Yep. I am talking this time of year when that surface temperature is close to that 80.
Yeah, sure.
When you're starting to see that transition from a real shallow bite, because you're losing the oxygen up there. Now you're start focusing more on that thermocline that we're talking about. You're starting to find that oxygen. Those bait fish are up there because that's where they got to be, right? Because they can only feed on small stuff that's around plant life and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they have to be there, but it's not worth that walleye to be there because it takes too much energy. So they're down finding the easy meal. And exactly what you said, you're cruising. That's why it's perfect, because a crawdad swims at about 0.4, 0.62, just like what you were pulling.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and the other interesting piece to this lake has some really big meathead rainbows. I mean, there's a lot of trout in there as well.
And, I bet you caught a bunch, didn't you?
Two, thank God. But man, they were huge.
That's about three too many.
Yeah. And but here they have huge perch. We all caught perch that were 13, 14 inches.
Oh, those are nice
perch. Really?
Oh, huge perch. Huge
dude, perch. Dude, 14, you got to get that baby on the wall.
Dude, it was big. And that, they were also full of crayfish, because one of those might have found their way with the walleyes into the fish fry.
Sure.
And, you know, it was interesting because I guess, you know, there's got to be smaller perch everywhere, right? And that you would see... So if people don't know, when you're looking at your graph, especially Lowrance, I don't know, hummingbird's got to be probably close to the same. But if you see panfish stacked up on your graph, they will almost look like a Christmas tree, right? Mm-hmm. It'll look like a line coming up, and you've got just these little dashes going across it. Those are usually shad or crappie or bluegill, something like that. So as we are trolling, those perch, you know, schools would be higher up in the water column, but you would see them. And you would see them all over out there suspended with the walleyes. And then every once in a while, you'd catch one. And it was real interesting to see, because they, too, were full of crayfish. So they were feeding on crayfish as well. So that seemed to be like the primary forage, even though the shiners were going. And, you know, you probably had baby perch, baby trout, I'm sure. All that other stuff was going. This is a very healthy lake. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting. And it was the number of big fish weren't as plentiful as it has been when we fished that lake earlier in the year.
You caught some okays in the 20s.
Oh yeah, low 20s for sure. And the big, you know, big fish, we didn't get anything in the, you know, we didn't get a 30 incher, or, you know, the whole tournament didn't see a 30 incher, but I think there was a 26 was the big one first day, and a 28 second day.
Mm-hmm. Nice quality
fish. So good fish.
Yep.
But there are big fish. I mean, we got a 27 and a half last time we fished in that tournament. And so you know, they have do have really nice fish in there. But we have heard that, you know, give it about 3-4 more weeks and it's just gangbusters shallower again in that lake. And we had also heard, of course,
because right it starts cooling down.
Starts going down right before we were there. There was a shallow bite going in the mornings. But obviously that really didn't materialize. I know some people did fish bait and caught fish. I don't know what they were doing or how they were doing it. But from what we could tell and the pattern we saw, you only had a very short window in the early morning and not necessarily the best fish. So we were getting better fish trolling crankbaits for those suspended fish.
Yeah.
And the suspended fish would actually move up in the mornings. They would be up higher. So they'd be up around that 19 feet, 20 feet. And as the day would go, they would sink. And they would be down lower, and they'd go around that 22, 28, somewhere right around there. And then as the wind would pick up in the afternoon, a Wyoming breeze of 10 to 12 miles an hour, the fish would then rise back up.
Slides back up, because what's that doing? There's getting wind crash, and you get more oxygen.
You get more oxygen.
You're starting to cool it down a little bit.
Big fish, and they're chasing stuff or whatever. But that was really cool to see, because – so here's the best part. So day one, we're flight two coming in. And probably two-thirds of the field is fishing in the end of the lake where we were. And just to show you how thermocline and wave action can affect the thermocline and where those fish are, we had gone to fish bottom bouncers in deep water where I had caught some nicer fish and actually lost another nice fish. Here's the craziest part. As the boats that were in for the first flight started to go by us, because we're in the dead center of the lake trolling, boom, we start catching fish. The second all those boats started buzzing by us and started to create those more wave action, boom, we started to catch fish. So we were at three keepers up to that point, and we caught an additional four keepers within the next 15 minutes. So we had two doubles and filled out our basket plus one, and then proceeded to catch fish and not upgrade at all, but proceeded to catch fish all the way up until it was our turn to go back in.
Yeah. It's crazy how a lot of times later in the afternoon, some of those late bites turn on.
Yep.
And I don't know why that is, but it seems like that happens quite a bit.
It does.
It was like the Dead Sea. After about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I mean, it was brutal.
You had waves already from the wind, right?
We didn't have a lot of wind. It was pretty flat calm for most of both
afternoon
days.
Afternoon wind.
Just that afternoon would pick up a little bit, but it wasn't consistent. So when those boats came in and made the bigger waves, you know, when they were all flying past you to get in, man, it started the bite.
Well, that to me, that's almost like it changed the light, you know, with the sun penetrating, and it darkened it up and to where it turned them on.
It could have.
I don't know,
but it was very interesting to see. And we ended up fishing lead core on three of the four rods, and the fourth rod was a snap weight, and the snap weight started to pick up with the wave action because it was getting more erratic, right? It was going erratic on the board's going up and down, it's pulling that snap weight up and down, it's making that jerk. Here's the other interesting part, too. We were catching fish. We caught numerous fish when we would go to let out or reel up line on the lead core.
Really?
So I'd click it open, and I'd let out 10, 15 feet, snap it closed, boom, rod would go back. I would reel it up real quick, crank it up, you know, half a color, and as soon as I'd get done cranking it up, I'd step back, boom, rod would go back. So we really think those fish were following them for long distances. So I did the little trick, right? You know what the little trick is when you get fish following forever? You know? Look at him.
Stop.
No. No, because we were already doing S-turns like crazy. And it didn't seem to...
Pump it?
Well, I tried that, and it didn't seem to be very consistent either. I put the tie... I was pinching off the end, not the head end, but the tail end of Nightcrawlers, sticking them on the front hook of our baits. And so it was just about a half an inch of Nightcrawler sticking off the front hook of the bait and trolling that. And the second we started to do that, we started to catch fish.
There's another element, the scent.
Yep. Just a little bit that caused them, if they were following them, to come up and take it.
Well, I think thermocline is one of those things that We pay attention to, but I don't think it's an end all be all. Really, what we end up looking at is the graph where we're finding the fish, and then we figure out how to get at those fish. But you do, after time on the water, you start seeing them relating to that thermocline. So there's definitely something to it.
Sure.
And I don't think any of us are experts at thermocline, but what we do is we pay attention to it. You have to pay attention to the oxygenated levels in the lake.
Well, and you're on these big, let's say you're on these Minnesota lakes or lake, you know, whatever these lakes are, you know, wherever you are, Midwest or Texas, down in the southern lakes, and you're fishing over these big mud flats or whatever. Don't be afraid. If those fish are at 30 feet, go down to 30 feet and get them.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys were, you know, I caught that one nicer fish in pre-fish at 42 feet of water, and they're like, whoa, 42 feet, oh. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just 42 feet. These fish live in the water. Like, you realize that, right? Right. You know? It's 42 feet, but.
Well, the thermoclines is definitely a clue, but you still got to fish where the fish are.
Yeah. I mean, fish on the bottom, and I said, let's do fish on the bottom. And so that's what we did. And the nicest fish I got all week was in 42 feet. So. Yeah. And the nice one we lost was 42 feet.
I can't believe you didn't just stay in 42 feet.
Well, the problem was it wasn't consistent enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I could have made a whole tournament bite out of 42 feet, or else I would have. Mm-hmm. And the other hard part was with all those points coming out, very inconsistent. So you would run your bottom bouncers 20 feet, 42 feet, 30 mm-hmm. feet, 21 feet.
Yeah,
I mean,
tough.
It was brutal.
No. Yeah, that's tough.
You were very busy reeling up, letting out. And so it made it pretty difficult to fish and keep your baits right where you wanted them to be. But for that one stretch, we caught a nice fish, lost a nice fish. So,
well, the moral of the story is that he got to go fish and we didn't.
That is so the moral.
Get
of the
out,
story.
Get off the couch and go fishing.
That's right. Well, we did good, though. 25th out of, so it was the top 77 teams. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Top 77 teams throughout the whole year, and we averaged 119 boats each tournament.
Oh, wow.
So it was top 77 teams out of all those boats, and we were ranked 41st. We didn't have a super great year, and came out of it 25th.
Yeah,
so
well, there you go.
Yeah, you know, ended up winning some prizes, and, you know, wasn't exactly what we wanted, but after day one, we were 29th, so we moved up four spots.
Which consistency. I was happy with.
Yeah,
no, that's good.
Yep.
So
well, I think we're going to wrap it up from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for the emails on this. This came from a couple of people asking about the thermocline, oxygenated water, things like that. And if you have something you'd like to hear on the podcast, because that's where we get a lot of our ideas. I mean, we talk fishing all the time, but it's good to hear what you guys want to hear. So alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We get a lot of them. We try to get them on the podcast. When we get to it, we get to it. But we appreciate the emails. Also following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, things like that. It's really been the success of you guys in the next level.
Yes. If you guys like what you hear, subscribe to the next level, because we, you know, after we get done usually recording the normal podcast, we go in and we do a long one, and we're starting to get a pretty good library of hour plus long episodes where, you know, we go in depth into this kind of stuff, and it's fun for us because we get to talk more fishing.
Yep.
So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, have a great day. Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.